Amen. It's full on the outside, and God's Spirit is on the inside as well as the outside. And we just thank the Lord for allowing us all to be a part of the service here at Hunt Springs Baptist Church this morning. And we pray that we'll sing a song, speak a word of encouragement to you, that'll be right what you need today. Amen. You can sing along if you'd like.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Come on, help us sing it.
Jesus, Jesus, oh my Jesus, there's just something about that.
Praise Him right where you're at. Praise the Lord. We worship.
Thank you, Jesus.
Looking back over my life, God's good, so good. And it's a fact, sometimes I took the wrong path, but God was good, so good. When I think where I've been and what He's brought me through, all I can say that God's been so good. But on second thought, God's been great. How great,
how great,
how great is God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, the grace that sought me, great above that bought me. How great,
how
long,
how long
are His arms of mercy reach way down to the bottom, pick me up. No problem, ain't God good? No, God's great. Moving on, well, I've got a new song. 'Cause God's good, so good. And when I'm faced with trials in my way,
God's good, so good. And when I'm questioned about this smile on my face, I must reply, oh, life can say that God's been so good. But on second thought, God's been great. How great, how great, how great is God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, the grace is on me. Great the love that bought me. How great, how long, how long are His arms of mercy reach way down to the bottom, pick me up. No problem, ain't God good? No, God's great. How great,
how great
is God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, the grace that's on me. Great the blood that bought me. How reach way down to the bottom, pick me up. No problem, ain't God good?
No,
God's great. Reach way down to the bottom, pick me up. No problem, ain't God good? No, God's
y'all. Thank y'all. God's grace is so great. And at this time, we want to pray for the offering. And as they were singing a while ago, how sweet the name of Jesus is. We just want to ask that the Lord would just receive these offerings as a sweet, sweet gesture and aroma to Him. We're going to pray, and then I'll ask Jose to come around. It's probably the first time a preacher's ever asked somebody to go up to a car wearing a mask and ask for money. Amen. So this is going to be a little different, so y'all please treat him nice, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Kind Father, we come before you, Lord, and thank you. And this week as we are starting back, resuming our services, we thank you. It's been so many with the COVID, and you've taken care of us, and now you've brought us back together in your presence. We thank you for that so much, gracious Father. Now, as we give the first fruits of all that you've already given us here in 2021, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We ask that, Lord, you help give us a vision of stewardship, a vision of your plan for 2020, that these offerings, Lord, will be used to your glory. That, Lord, though we don't always think about the things that you are glorifying us in, help us realize the more we glorify you, the more honor we receive on this earth through you and through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not try to put ourselves first, but think about putting Christ first and the interest of one another first this whole year. Lord, slow us down any time we begin to think more of ourselves than we ought to. Lord, help us seek you first and your kingdom in all the things that we do. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we offer this prayer to the only God, our Father. Looking down His name, we pray. Amen. Y'all give the Crusaders another welcome.
As they gambled for the robe he wore, they chose a worldly trail. But they never thought the same mistake. Jesus or the world, my child.
Jesus,
I'll take Jesus. Those earthly pleasures, and they fail. And when you see the gates of heaven, you'll hear the Master say, or the world, my child, which one will you take?
When the pages of my life have turned and my time has rolled away, the greatest deeds that I have done, well, they won't help me on that day. Oh, my earthly treasures that I have laid away, they'll be no more than just a memory, and this you'll hear me say. I'll take Jesus, I'll take Jesus. Well, I've tried those earthly pleasures and they failed. And when you see the gates of heaven, you hear the Master say, or the world, my child, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus.
I'll take Jesus. What about you? Amen. Let me tell you right quick, we aren't the Crusaders of North Carolina. The reason for that is because we met a lot of other crusaders, just like we meet a lot of Christians. So we try to identify ourselves by saying from North Carolina. We're right down the road here in Irwin and Dunn, North Carolina. I want you to meet Joyce Scott. This is my, and then my wife, Mary Ann. Joyce's husband is with us, Bobby, and my name is Michael. That makes up all the crusaders that are with us today. And we're here to worship him, hopefully to encourage you, and you encourage us by our worship today, Pastor. It's truly a privilege, an honor of ours to be with you today.
Now, old Daniel in the Bible was thrown into a lion's den. He would not bow down to an idol. He told the king, I will not sin. He said, I pray to the Lord in the morning and at noon and in the night. Praise the Lord in the morning and at noon and in the night. Sing to the Lord in the morning and at noon and in the night. Shout to the Lord in the morning and the noon and in the night. That next morning, the king asked Daniel, oh, Daniel, did your God save you? When Daniel answered, the king was rejoicing, cause Daniel's God always comes through. He said, I pray to the Lord in the morning and at noon and in the night. Praise the Lord in the morning and at noon and in the night. Sing to the Lord in the morning and at noon in the night. Shout to the Lord in the morning and at noon and in the night. Today's your day. Amen.
God can do it now, just like back then.
And I'll tell you how. If you'll just pray to the Lord in the morning and the noon in the night. Praise the Lord in the morning and the noon and in the night. To the Lord in the morning and the noon in the night. Shout to the Lord in the morning and the noon and in the night. Pray to the Lord in the morning and the noon and in the night. Praise the Lord in the morning and the noon and in the night.
the night. Sing to the Lord in the morning and at noon in the night.
Shout,
shout to the Lord in the morning and at noon and in the night. Morning, noon, and night.
God, aren't we glad we have that example in his word that Daniel stood for what was right, and he knew when he prayed, even after the king had put his stamp on that proclamation that nobody could worship anyone but the king, the Bible says that he prayed with his windows open. You know, he did the same thing that he had always done and knew what his fate was. And I've thought many a times, every time we sing that song, in my head I can see all of it going on. And I can see him being carried to that lion's den. Yes. No doubt in my mind he was praying then. And probably he knew God was going to deliver him one way or the other. You know, there was a song going around. We never sung that song, but we really need to. It says, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. And he could have had that mindset, God, I've served you. You are my God, whatever happens. And here he gets in, thrown in there with those lions, and no doubt he's still praying. And the Bible says that God sent an angel to shut those lions' mouths. Woo! That's shouting room right there. Amen. There's some mouths that need to be shut today. But my God can do it. My God can do it. And I imagine after he saw that, there was some shouting going on and some singing and some praising the Lord for what God had done for him. Just like we should be doing the same. There should never be a day that at least three times a day we speak to him. But his word says to pray without ceasing. I used to teach youth a whole lot, and I'd say that does not give you an excuse to stay home. That does not mean you have to be on your knees somewhere all day long praying. That just means you leave open communication between you and the Father, and that you're constantly talking to him and praising him and thanking him. And I'm so glad today that he's real, and my hope is in him. My hope is not in anything that I hear anywhere around, but my hope is in him. And I know as long as I put my faith and my trust in him and hold on to him, he's going to take care of me. I don't have to worry or fret. I just know that he is with me, and he'll take care of everything. And I love him tonight, and I thank him for being my dearest and best friend. And I'm going to be quiet. My husband says I talk a lot. But when you have someone so great as Almighty God to talk about, it's easy to keep going on and on and on. I love him today. Amen. Amen.
Listen to the words of this song. It takes us back a few years back.
Many years he walked in darkness as he groped along the streets with his hand stretched out for pennies or for just a bite to eat. It's the story of the blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the master's touch the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, somebody touch me, somebody touch me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free.
Are you thankful for his touch?
One day he touched the crippled man, and he made him walk again. Oh, the master saw with pleasure that it labored not in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I too was bound by sin. But since the master came, oh, praise his name, thank God I now can say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. Oh, I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. Oh, I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free. Are you free?
Pastor's coming. I would like to just say, if it's okay, we have a product table set in the foyer. Everything we've sung this morning, and we'll sing today, we have on a CD. We have a lot of different things. We'd love for you to stop by. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come.
Crusaders, another big hand. Now, if you're online, you're not going to realize how great the Crusaders are, because we only have one, two, three, four, five people in here, six up there, and so that's why the clapping ain't loud, amen? But, hey, they are a great group. I'm glad we had planned to do some ministry together. We wasn't able to because of the COVID, and then me and my wife ended up with COVID, and we've had a lot of services moved around, but we're glad you're here today. If you're outside at the close of service, please, if you would love to get one of their CDs, you can come in one at a time if that makes you more comfortable. People in here will have their mask on. If you want a CD and didn't want to come in, contact me before Tuesday night. Guess what? The Crusaders are going to be live and in person at Coolwater Cowboy Church Tuesday night, and you just let me know, and I can pick you up a CD from there. You can probably go on their Facebook page or go online and see the music they got. But we thank you for being here today, and we're going to jump on in the message. If you would take your Bibles and turn to John. Turn to John chapter 1. This was going to be a message for the week after Christmas. I was going to speak about Jesus' birth on Christmas, and then we was going to move into this for the New Year's. As we look at this verse, I want to talk to you today about how Jesus accomplishes the creative work of God. Now, I want to give you six truths that make the object of our faith central to God's creative acts. We find this in John chapter 1 through 18. Now, there can be three sermons here, or the way I'm looking at it a little different than I've normally preached it this morning. These six truths could actually be six different sermons. So with that said, I'll not be able to exhaust every word in the text. But I want you to look at this, if you will, this morning, and let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Kind fathers, we come before you. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you that your word become flesh and revealed and manifested your glory to us in fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your spirit, the creative power in your spirit that, Lord, today your spirit would dwell us and help us understand more clearly not only your word to us, but how we can apply your word to our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, look with me this morning in chapter 1, verse 1. This is a very familiar passage. And as we read that, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things come into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now, the Crusaders and I, you would think that we've worked all week to put our message and our music together. But I always leave that to the Holy Spirit. That didn't know they was going to close with that song. I would have loved for them to sung another song, but when he looked at me, I'm like, no, you just sung about Jesus touching us and we're no longer in darkness. So I need to jump in right here, amen? And so that's why we cut them a little short. I'm going to let them sing a couple of songs at the end. Now, the first truth I want you to understand is the Logos, or the Word, made all things. Now, I'm not trying to go into a Greek lesson here or anything this morning, but you've heard over and over about the Logos. The Logos is the expression of the thoughts of God. In other words, if I think something, or if Mona thinks something at home and she wants me to do it, now I pick up on a lot of her facial expressions, amen? But a lot of times I might not want to do that right then. But when she says, "Did you hear me say, take out the trash?" Right? I get the full expression of what that meant when she looked down at the trash can when I was going out the door. Amen? Now, the Logos, it means word or words. But the expression of God, in Revelation 4, chapter 4, verse 11, the elders fall down, they worship and glorify God, and they says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive all glory, all honor, and all power, because you created all things, and because of your will, they were created and they exist." Speaking of the will of God, what is the will of God? It is His design for His creation. God spoke everything into being in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 3, guess what? We, as humanity, messed it up. God promised right there, chapter 3, verse 15, that what? He would restore or recreate His creation according to His design. The will of God is expressed through the Word of God. And here we see that the Logos, or the Word of God, made all things. Now, we live in a world, and I don't know why I'm talking so loud. I'm going to be out of air in a minute. I'm excited. Amen. We live in a world that no longer believes in absolute truth. Now, I hope all believers believe in absolute truth, because absolute truth is that which corresponds with reality. Reality is that which corresponds with God's creative design. Now, anything outside of that is just not true. I mean, you know, it might be true. We might be able to hold those truths, but long as some more evidence comes along, we might change our mind. Now, and if you've been keeping up with anything in 2020, you'll realize that what's been happening for the last 25 years about people believing absolute truth has finally fully manifested itself. No longer does people believe that history has already been written and that the future is still being played out according to God's design. Nowadays, people tell you what the future's going to be, and they rewrite history to prove that what they want to happen tomorrow is right. Now, it doesn't work like that. History reveals creation. It reveals how sometimes we obey God, sometimes we don't obey God. How when we don't obey God's will and God's ways, there's consequences. Also, in those consequences, we serve a God of second chances. He forgives us. But because He forgives us doesn't necessarily mean that we'll just start doing good. When He forgives us, redeems us, when we repent and start trusting God, to trust God means we obey God. When we obey God, then we're back in God's wheels and things go good. Now, because God is God, God gives us His Holy Spirit to help us do this. So anytime you say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, be real careful. James warns us about that. You know, the Bible throughout warns us about pride. Pride is saying, hey, guess what? I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this is how it's going to work out. Well, that will fool yourself. Amen? I'm living proof of that. So this morning, as we look, we see that the Logos made all things. Now, I'm going to preach this a little different. You could divide it into three sections here. What I want you to look at this morning, and like I said, I'm not trying to get into the Greek, but I want to see something. I want you to see something John did here. And it is the word genomai. Say genomai. Genomai. The word genomai means, it's got a lot of nuances. It can mean to make, became. It can mean all those words. And also, John uses an adjective right here that is monogenes, which is from the root word, and it means one and only, or only begotten. How many of y'all heard only begotten in the King James? Or only unique in some of your translations. Now, 10 times John uses this word or some form of this word. So this is what I want us to look at this morning as we pull out these six absolute truths about Jesus being the central force of God's creative power, of God's creative work, of God's creative acts. And now the Logos made everything. Now, first of all, it says, in the beginning, God created everything. In verse 3, it says, in the beginning, it takes us back to Genesis, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you had the Jehovah Witnesses come to your house and they whoop out the New World Translation of their Bible, this verse is the one they'll go to, because they'll say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Now, the Colwell rule that was established in 1933 says if you've got a predicate nominative without an article, that's the word the, then usually, meaning just about every time you find it in Greek language, it is definite. What does that mean for us? It took me a long time when I was taking Greek. I kept looking at this phrase and I'm like, how am I going to tell the church that this is God, the Word? And that rule, when I finally learned that rule, here's what it says. It literally says God was the Word. James puts God in front. He emphasizes it. In other words, the Word was God. Jesus is not a God among many gods. Jesus is not, as some say, a thought, a spiritual being. He's not the image of some gods. He's not many gods. He is the God. What John is saying here is from the very beginning of this story we call the Bible, when it says, in the beginning God, Jesus Christ existed. What it is called is eternal generation. God did not create Jesus one day. Man, I'd like to have a son. Let me create him. I know there's a couple of teachings in New Testament theology that when Jesus was baptized, God adopted him into the family of God as his son. Now, Dr. Carson used to always tell me, it's one Greek word y'all need to remember about that theology right there. It's called baloney. Jesus always existed in the form of God and was God. We call that the Trinity. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are three in essence. They carry out three different roles, three different persons, but they are one essence. It's no difference in the excellent character of Jesus Christ, God the Father, or the Holy Spirit. So the Word was with God and was God. So in the beginning, when we see that God spoke everything into being, He spoke it into being through the central force of Jesus Christ. Paul explains this to us in Colossians 1 when he says, "For by Him all things were created, both in heavens, on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and all things hold together in Him." So, if you look around in the morning when you get up, the birds, the sun, the grass, the house you live in, there's the materials it's made out of, there's nothing you see that was not created by God in the person of Jesus Christ. God thought it. When it says He spoke it, that means that Christ carried out the creative plan of God. Now, you say, well, everything? I said, yes, everything. It says all things, and here's this word again, came into being through Him. In other words, because of Christ, everything was created. That means you. That means me. And it says, and apart from Him, because John's like, knows what y'all doing. Y'all thinking through your mind something that God didn't make, right? I know one time somebody was trying to debate with me, and they says, well, if God can do everything, if He's all powerful, can He make a rock so big that He can't pick it up? And I'm like, that's stupid. You know, I said, what? I don't even know where you're going with that. Hey, God created all things, and John says here, I know what they was thinking, so he says, let me just tell you, there's nothing that ever come into being that Christ didn't make. That's what he says. See how this wordplay is? All things came into being through Him. Apart from Him, nothing came into being. Everything you see, God made. Anything you see is what God made, and there's nothing you can look at that God didn't make, is what he's saying. And now, verse 4, this is more of a creative fact. It says, in Him, which is Jesus, the Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ, it says, was life. Now, in Timothy, we hear that God is the God of life. We see all through the Bible that God breathed life into Adam and Eve, that God, through the Holy Spirit, breathed life back into the repentant Israel in Ezekiel chapter 37. We see this over and over in Scripture. But here it says, just as the Crusaders were singing, that God is life. What is that life? It is the light. We're living in darkness because Adam and Eve sinned against God. And once they sinned against God, they were separated from God. Do you remember Adam and Eve? What did it do? God showed up in the garden. He used to come every morning. The dew would be on the grass. You know the song, in the garden. He'd be walking around. He would have fellowship with them. He told them, y'all can do anything you want to. Just don't eat from the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. Yet they did. As soon as they ate from it, they understood what? Consequences of sin. They understood more fully their conscience. What did they do? Hid from God. They went from the light and the presence of God to hiding. Well, they tried to hide themselves behind some fig leaves. That really didn't work good, right? And then they hid in the garden. So they was what? Hiding from the judgment of God. In the light of God is truth. Anytime we deny the truth of God, we immediately are afraid of His judgment and we try to hide in the darkness. Chapter 3 of John. Now this is the introduction or the prologue to John's gospel. And in this, he's laying out what he's going to be talking about in the next verses. So he is the Logos. He is Christ who made all things. But also, I need to move on here so I can get done. There, verse 6 says, there came a man. Here again, we see, there came a man from God whose name was John. Now, this is not the Apostle John. This is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin that is the last Old Testament prophet. He was born to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. He come to make straight the path for the Messiah that was coming. You know the story. You can go back and read that in Matthew and in Luke. In verse 7, it says, he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made, here's that word again, made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But you need to mark this in your Bible, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That was our verses, and as we... we've lost some of our things, so I'll just go back here. If you will look now, we'll see that the Logos, or that Jesus, makes a witness within creation. Here it says, there came a man sent from God. Now, Christ is working outside of creation to create all things. God's created all things. But here we see that God wants a witness for himself within creation. So it says, there came a man sent by God. In other words, God made or created a witness for Christ to be a witness to his greatness, to his grace. In the same way as we become believers, we are created to be witnesses. God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, works in us that we can be a witness to and testify for the greatness of the grace of Christ. In other words, John the Baptist was called to take the stand, to be sworn in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I do. Well, what are you testifying about? He says, I'm testifying about the Logos. He says, I want you to know that he is the light. He's the life. He's the light. Now look, I'm not the light. I mean, I'm giving you some information, but Jesus Christ is the light. I'm testifying. I'm giving you evidence to claim this truth. And when we talk about witnessing about Christ, we want to give evidence. I got a good friend called me the other morning and said, oh man, I ain't never going to eat no more devil crab at night. I said, what happened? He said, I dreamed all night. It was terrible. I had to fight. I said, well, what was wrong? He said, preacher, you introduced me to somebody and we got to be friends. We was working together and that dude just all of a sudden quit doing what a Christian's supposed to do. And he was just going every which way. And said, ended up, me and him was fighting and all kinds of things. He said, it was just terrible. Look, if you're going to have a witness for Christ, then you need to live like you're saved. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Can you imagine that? I made so many mistakes when I was young. And then, you know, I realized when I got to be a teenager, I kind of multiplied them. Then in my 20s, you know, I went to the power of 10, right? I made some mistakes, honestly. You think about John the Baptist, you say he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He was always witness of Jesus. He was doing everything. If you get over a little farther in chapter 1, you see that John says, guess what? I didn't recognize him as the Messiah until I saw the dove descending on him. Why? Because God told me the one that I saw the dove descend upon and rest was the Messiah. Even John the Baptist needed light to shine in the darkness to move him out. And he says here, let me be a witness to you of this. The light come in the world to enlighten men, to dispel of darkness. and he was in the world. So not only did the Logos make a witness within creation, the Logos himself come into, we'll get to that in verse 14, come into his creation to reveal the fullness of God to us. But as he come into the world, and look at verse 10, and the world was made, the world that he created through him, and the world did not know him. You say, what? Jesus created everything. There's nothing created that he did not make. He come into his creation, and his creation did not recognize him. Now, why? Sin, the darkness of death. When we sin, we are spiritually separated and dead from Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus come to shine light into darkness. Now, when you go into a dark room with a flashlight and you turn on the light, what does it do? It pushes or dispels the darkness. You know, the farther you walk into the room, the farther the light goes, the farther the darkness pushes back. Say, if you want to know the truth, if you want to have life in the light, you got to be near Jesus. And you got to be going the way Jesus is going. That means you got to follow Jesus. Here a while back, just out of the blue, the power went off. Don't know what happened at our house. Mona's like, what happened to the power? I'm like, it went out, baby. So I'm trying to get a flashlight and a lantern for her and all this. And, you know, as I walked through the house, I couldn't help it. I just had to turn on the light switch anyway, out of habit, right? Well, you know, when we go into a room and turn on the light switch, we don't go, oh, look there, Michael, the light's on, right? Hey, when you with Jesus, you'll recognize the truth and not even realize the truth's been turned on. Amen. But if you're not with Jesus, you're going to be in the darkness of deception and death, and you're going to be missing this. And as I'd go in the room with the flashlight to kind of arrange things so we can make it to the power come back on, the light, wherever I shone, the light was shining, would be lit up. And it's the same way with Christ. When we shine Christ towards others, things light up. And that's what we have to do here. Now, I know I need to keep moving, so look, the Logos makes us children of God. I just want to mention this here in verse 10. A lot of times we think, and his own didn't know him. When we're talking about the own, we're talking about creation here. Obviously, the Jews, his own people, did reject him, but we're talking about all of creation. Romans chapter 1. God made everything through Jesus Christ. Jesus come into the world, and his creation didn't recognize him. It says he came to his own. Those who were his own did not receive him. Guess what? God made you. I don't care what your new science teacher tells you. You was created by God. He made our ears. If you read through John and the Gospels, you'll notice something that and it's in the Old Testament. I could never understand this. The Lord said, I've given them ears, but they do not hear. In other words, we don't want to hear sometimes what God's saying. Christ gave you ears that sometimes you don't listen to him with. He gave you eyes. Sometimes you want to see things your way instead of God's way, so you don't look to see what Jesus wants you to do. And, oh, mercy, what about that tongue? God gave you a tongue so you could be a witness to him. Now, what happens when we go to gossiping, fussing, fighting, criticizing, talking about people? Are we a witness to the Logos who created everything, including truth and our life? Or are we just what? Blending in with the world. And when you do that, what happens? We decide that I like things the way they are. So what do I do? Hide in the darkness. Chapter 3 of John. Now here we see the greatest. God's creation is great. Amen. His word's great. But to me, the greatest act of creation is when I was 31 years old and he took the broken sinner I was and turned me into his child. Here it says, to them who believe in him, he gives the right, here's that word again, to become children of God. Belief is used almost 100 times. In the Gospel of John. It is the word. that he just puts the theme of his book together with. You know, we can say things like, I believe it's going to be warm after a while. Now, that simply means I watched the weather this morning and I think it's going to get up in the 50s today, right? Don't really mean that I believe it, right? Because you know why? Hey, I got a long-handled shirt because I knew it was going to be cold. Amen? I might believe it's going to get 60, but you got to show me. Amen? That means I think. Or we might say, you know, well, I know. In other words, we've gone to school, somebody's taught us some facts about something, and we've accepted it. We like, this is true. You know, this is true. Until, and here's what's going on in our schools today. Somebody presents more evidence to a different truth. And then we say, yeah, that makes a little more sense. I'll go like that. Now, that's not belief. That's just acting on knowledge we've received. True belief is, I believe what God says, and I'm going to pattern my life after that. And belief is that by doing what God says, I believe in the end I'll prove him right. In other words, when I come over here this morning, I hardly ever think about it unless it is real cold, it's rained, and people sliding, bumping into each other. That's the bridge over here on Tramway Road that goes over the train tracks. I go over that thing all the time, don't think nothing about it. Why? Because I believe it's going to hold up my car. Now, if I just thought that bridge is there, but I don't know what's under it, what's holding it up, I would be what? In a skid when I got there. Amen? True belief is, I don't even slow down, right? I just go right on over the bridge. If we believe in God, that means we are trusting, it says here in verse 12, even in his name, his authority, his power, who he is, we're believing in him, and what? We can receive him when we believe in him, and he will give us the right to become or be made into children of God. Now, how are we made into children of God? Repentance. Confession. Confession is simply this. Lord, I was wrong. You're right. Everything you say about me was right. I'm a sinner. Undone. Lord Jesus, what do I need to do? You need to believe that Jesus was born fully God and fully man. That's what this is all about right here. I don't have time to go completely in that, but fully God, Jesus created everything. He can recreate us in the image we was designed to live in. Also, he is fully man, so everything that we broke, he can come and live according to God's will, take our punishment, die, be buried, and resurrected so that we know we can have life. Now you say, so what does that mean? Jesus is the life and he's the light. It says that men didn't understand it, or that the darkness could not overtake or overpower the light. Now, if you read on through John, you get to chapter 19, we come to something we're not expecting. The suffering servant, Son of God, the Messiah of chapter 2 of Psalms, is crucified, killed, and buried. Satan thinks darkness is won. Look at me. But guess what happened? 3 days later, we call it the resurrection. The light shined into the world again. Jesus was resurrected. Without the resurrection, the manger, the cross, and the grave make no sense. But because Jesus Christ was fully human, he died in our place. Because he was fully God, he had never sinned. And he could take our punishment because he owed nothing. Now, why is that important? Because if Jesus Christ was not fully God, he could have sinned. If he was not fully man, he could have never been able to sympathize with us in temptation. Hebrews 4, 12, 15, going down through there, it says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us, but one that has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus died for our sins so that we could become children of God. Now, we are not born of things of this world, as we've already learned. The Logos, Christ, Jesus, He created all things. It says here, you're not born of blood. And I'm going to have to cut this short and maybe finish this last piece next week. Born again, believers in Jesus Christ become children of God. The way you do that is by admitting first that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus was born, lived, died, and resurrected for your sins. He died in your place. You ask for forgiveness. Then you believe in the resurrection power, the resurrection life of God to take up residence in your life. You start living for God. Now, here's what it doesn't mean if you're children of God. Guess what? You can't be born again if you are trusting in your blood. Now, the Jews did this. We're the Jewish people, God's chosen people. We are His people, so all we got to do is keep saying that we're His people, and one day, what? When God sends His Messiah, the kingdom's coming back, we're going to get everything. You say, well, I'm glad I'm not like that. Well, how many of us are? How many times have I heard somebody tell me when I start talking to them about their life with Christ, well, my mama goes to church every week. My mama used to take me to church when I was little. Or it says, not of the flesh. That word there is describing a husband and wife that come together to procreate in passion, in sincerity to one another. John is saying, first of all, it don't matter who you are and what family you belong to, or if your mom and daddy started the church. You got to believe in Jesus. Second, he's saying, and it don't mean that just because you got a good heart. How many times you heard that? Oh, I know he done wrong, but he got a good heart. He does things to help people. Hey, if you don't trust in Jesus, you're still not a child of God. And it says, or the will of man. Husband and wife could plan. We'd like to have a child. We'd like to have it in a couple years when things get worked out. They can make a plan and have a child that born by the will of man, and they could have a child. But guess what you can't plan? I'm going to do things this way, and I'll be saved. It says it's only by the will of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God had a plan. He said, the seed from the woman that has sinned against me and brought sin and darkness into this world, through him, he'll bring redemption and rescue to his people. It is the will of God expressed through the word of God, who is Jesus Christ, that not only creates everything you see, but also recreates you to be a child of God. And when we think about this, we need to understand, and I'll close with this, what a redemption is. It is the adoption into the family of God. I've used this illustration a lot. I raised my son and actually didn't legally adopt him to his grown man. The lawyer that filled out the paperwork for us, her assistant, when she was reading that, called and said, called her boss lady, the lawyer, or intercommed her and said, I didn't know you could be adopted when you was grown. She said, yes, you can. So she called her mom and daddy and the stepdaddy that raised her, and she was 21 years old. And she says, why didn't you ever adopt me? See, my son said the same thing. I asked him that year, and he's a grown man, married. I said, what do you want for Christmas? He says, your name. See, I asked him when he was little, and he just kind of never answered, so I didn't want to push it on him. But I'll never forget this, the day before Thanksgiving, when they'd read the papers and everything was done, the judge asked me to stand, and I stood up. And he says, Mr. Thomas, if you was his biological daddy, I couldn't make you do nothing for him. He's a grown man. He says, but I want you to understand that I've been in family court for many years. And he says, if I grant what you're asking, that means you have freely chose to give Jason everything that belongs to you and that he is forever your child. That's what God did for us in the person of Jesus Christ. God gave himself everything he was. Christ nailed to the cross for our redemption, was buried, was resurrected. When I say that Jesus Christ makes us children of God, it is irrevocable. You cannot take it back. You cannot do away. All the precious gifts and promises of God has come to reality in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the full expression of life with Jesus. Let us bow our heads. This morning, if you're listening online, or if you're here, or if you're in the parking lot, the witness of John, the fact that Jesus made a witness within creation for himself, the witness of John asked this one question: will you decide to believe in Jesus Christ? Have you decided to believe in Jesus Christ? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you should be living for Jesus Christ. If you think that the life that you've lived is so bad Jesus can't forgive you, John says that there is no sin greater than God's grace. That the grace of Christ will forgive you. You simply have to acknowledge that you have sinned. Say, Lord, I know I've not lived the life that you wanted me to live. Lord, I believe Jesus come to this earth, lived the life I should have lived, and died the death I deserve. That he was buried in darkness, but raised in light, that I may know that I can truly be a child of God. If you prayed that this morning, you are saved. If you meant it with your heart, I encourage you, as the Bible says, to tell someone, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Tell somebody today, I've accepted Christ. If you are a child of God, but you've taken for granted the truths of God, that God creates all things, that he recreated you to be his child, that he wants you to believe in the absolute truths about him and live your life by them truths. If you're not doing that, John says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God not only forgives us for what we didn't do yesterday, but he also cleanses us from the soiled sin that's in our life and helps us live tomorrow a new way. I encourage you today to trust that Jesus made all things, that he's made a witness within creation, that's his word, that he makes us his children. And Lord, I pray that everyone that hears this message will live the life that Christ was born, died, and resurrected to give them in the light of the truth of your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to ask the Crusaders if they will come again and sing.
Since I started out with you, Lord, there have been times my feet have strayed. Too busy that I failed to read your holy word and pray. But in my darkest hour, when it seemed that no one cared, while searching for a hand to hold, your hand was always there. When I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me.
And even though I failed you so, you never turn your back on me. When I thought I was standing all alone, you were there, but I couldn't see. When I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me. Many times I felt discouraged as I struggled day by day. The path I traveled on had grown so dark. Well, I couldn't find my way. Though it seemed there was no solution to the trials that I was going through. But now I can see your hand was guiding me. Before I ever reached you, Lord, I know when I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me. And even though I failed you so, you never turned your back on me. When I thought I was standing all alone, you were there, but I couldn't see. When I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me. When I thought I was standing all alone, you were there, but now I see. When I didn't have my hand in yours, Lord, you had your hand on me. You had your hand on me.
Thank y'all so much. Y'all give the Crusaders another big hand. If you're in the parking lot, give them a honk on your horn. Thank y'all. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for being with us today. And as we close, we just want to remember one another in our prayers, and those who are shut in, those who have been in the hospital or at home, or those that are sheltering in place because of the COVID, just keep them in your prayers. Also, reach out to one another and check on one another and encourage one another on phone, text, or email, ever how you communicate. Check with them again. If you would like a CD and it's some other items back here on the table, feel free to come inside and look at them and speak to the Crusaders. They will be at Cool Water on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We're looking forward to doing ministry with y'all again there. Let us close in prayer.